Welcome to 6 Minute Stories, where you hear the writing of new voices and experienced writers whose submissions appear in the anthologies of the Personal Story Publishing Project. Now in Season 9, you will hear stories from our 10th collection, Now or Never. Find links to 6 Minute Stories and to the Personal Story Publishing Project at randalljones.com. Everybody loves a good story. We hope you enjoy this one. Fit to be Tied by S.G. Benson. In a box of newspaper clippings, I recently found an old article with my byline. It began, "Move over, Alps and Rockies. The mountains aren't the only place ice climbers can find a challenge. Cold springs seeping from the sheer cliffs that flank the Niobrara River near Valentine freeze solid in midwinter, creating scalable ice cascades. Last weekend, visitors thronged to Niobrara Ice Jam, Nebraska's Ice Climbers Jamboree." The article described two Colorado adventurers who trekked to neighboring Nebraska to see what icy challenges the prairie state offers. Most people, including me, don't equate Nebraska with world-class ice climbing. So, as a newspaper correspondent for the Daily News, I felt surprised when my editor asked me to cover the event. It proved to be a chilling experience. Pun intended. A cardinal rule of journalism is that reporters should never appear in their own articles, never be the story. Now, years later, I can share what happened behind the scenes. I arrived at the parking lot to find a dozen climbers checking their gear. They wore crampons, metal spikes, strapped to their boots to keep them from slipping. I did not. The group planned to hike to the precipice, secure their ropes to trees, and rappel to the base of the ice cliff, where they would test several new uncharted routes as they climbed back to the top. I intended to remain topside, using that vantage point to follow the action. As the trek began, I immediately lagged behind, slipping and sliding on the ice. The hiker soon disappeared from my sight. Two men brought up the rear of our caravan of climbers, a magazine photographer from Lincoln, and my friend Stuart, a local park ranger. They slowed to accompany me, occasionally reaching out a steadying hand as I scrambled on the slick trail. They both wore proper footwear. Prairie yielded to prairie forest as we neared the bluff. The trail began descending slightly, and it became nearly impossible to keep my feet under me. Right at the edge of the chasm, I lost my balance and teetered on the brink, staring at sharp rocks lining the river 100 feet below. Stuart grabbed me just in time. Terrified, I considered returning home without my story. If I go, they'll never give me another plum assignment. I looked at Stuart. "You're not going to like this," he said, "but it will keep you safe and free both your hands to write and to shoot pictures." He took a stout rope from his equipment belt and tied me securely to a sturdy pine. The men pulled their climbing gear from their packs, tied a rope to another large tree, and waved goodbye to me before rappelling over the edge. Leaning over the lip of the precipice, I used both hands to photograph and jot notes as I watched the climbers below for the next couple of hours. With the temperature in the upper teens, my ungloved riding hand soon became numb. My parka felt inadequate, and my feet gradually lost feeling. It occurred to me that if my benefactors were unable to climb back up the ice wall, I might be in a desperate situation. Daylight began to fade. I kept my camera lens and pocketed my notebook. Peering again over the edge, I gasped when I saw nobody below. The climbers' voices that had earlier filled the afternoon had disappeared. Hearing only the wind and my own heartbeat punctuated my isolation, and the thought of being entirely alone terrified me. Where did they all go? I twisted in my bindings and strained towards the knot in Stuart's rope. It was just beyond the tips of my fingers. I don't even have a pocket knife, I thought. Now what? The shadows deepened along the river and the rocks below. The chill in the air sharpened. How long before someone notices me missing? Would anyone at all? As my anxiety rose, a rustling sound broke into my consciousness. I looked around but saw no one. What is that noise? A sudden movement drew my eyes to the ground several yards away. Stuart's rappelling rope, still tied to a tree, moved slightly, making tiny sounds against the ice. I craned my neck to look over the rim, but spotted nothing. Still, I could hear what sounded like faint, heavy breathing. The rope moved again, more this time. A few minutes later, Stuart's head popped up from under the cliff edge. He grinned. Did you think we forgot you? Hoisting himself onto the top, he reached back and pulled up the photographer after him. My story ran a few days later. My editor said the readers loved it. If only he knew, I thought. If only they knew. I refolded the yellowed newspaper clipping and slipped it back into the box, grateful I had not become a footnote to another story, my obituary. Copyright 2024, S.G. Benson. S.G. Sandy Benson lives in Warren, North Carolina, where she is a member of the North Carolina Writers Network, Quest. Her work has appeared in numerous magazines and newspapers and received awards from the Nebraska Presswomen. She published her first book in 2021, My Mother's Keeper, One Family's Journey Through Dementia. Her next book, Dear Folks, Letters Home from World War II, 1943 to 1946, is scheduled for release in April 2024. Details at sandygbenson.com. Read more about this writer and background on this story in a special feature of 6 Minute Stories called Author's Talk. Thank you for listening to another 6 Minute Story. You can read them all in the 10 anthologies of the Personal Story Publishing Project. Find the link to our online store at randalljones.com. That's RANDELLJones.com. There you can learn more about submitting your own story for consideration for our next Personal Story Publishing Project. And remember, everybody loves a good story.